John chapter 1, look at verse number 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What an introduction. What an amazing introduction. John is standing there and he sees Jesus and he says, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I know John had high hopes. I know John had huge dreams. I know he had big plans. I don't believe he knew exactly how Jesus was going to do it or how he was going to live or any of the details in that. But God had told John the Baptist, he said, the one that the Holy Spirit descends upon, that is the one. And I want you to announce him to the world and tell everybody. He had high hopes for Jesus. He had a great ideas of what he was going to do. He was going to come to take away the sins of the world and become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now I want you to go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Some time has passed. We don't know how much time since this point. John has been thrown into prison. He was preaching the truth and somehow he ended up in the presence of King Herod. Now Herod had taken his brother Philip's wife and married her. And John was telling him that it was wrong. He was preaching the truth, and Herod got upset at John, so he threw him into prison. He wasn't quite upset at him enough to kill him yet, but he'd thrown him into prison. And John's in prison. John had some disciples, people that were following him and learning from him. But now John is out of the picture. Jesus is now going through the countryside, and Jesus is now preaching. And in prison, John gets discouraged. And in prison, John begins to doubt. And I want you to read what it says here. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? What a question. We just read in John where he said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And now in prison, John begins to doubt. He begins to wonder. He begins to be discouraged, and he sends his disciples, his followers, to Jesus, and he says, Ask him, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? Are you really the Lamb of God, or are you just a prophet? Are you one that's supposed to be telling us about him, or are you a farce? Are you faking? Are you really the one? I don't know all of John's intentions behind that, but he said, are you the one that should come? Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Look how Jesus answers in verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Go tell Jesus. Go tell John what you've been seeing. Go tell him about the miracles. Now, when we talk about Jesus and we preach and we read about him, we read about blind people receiving their sight, we've heard it so much, it's kind of one of those, oh, big deal, a blind person received their sight. I've never met a blind person that has received their sight. Not like that. I mean, through medical means and through things like that, yeah, there's corrections that can be made and there's fixes. But for somebody to walk up to somebody and spit on the ground and take the clay and put it on somebody's eyes and say, go wash it in the stream or in the pool, and that person goes and washes it off, and all of a sudden they get their sight. I've never heard of that. I mean, in the Bible I have, but it's not an everyday occurrence. It's not something normal. And what I want you to see is Jesus says, go tell John that there's blind people that have been healed. They can see now. The lame walk. There are people that couldn't walk. Now, I don't remember the order that this one happened exactly, but there was a man that had been lame, I believe it was for about 40 years. He couldn't walk. Every day somebody would take him and lay him down by the side of this pool. This is an amazing pool. Once a year, an angel would come down from heaven and touch the water. And once he touched the water, the first person that would get into the water would be healed of whatever problem it was. The lame man had a problem and he couldn't get in the water fast enough. You never knew exactly when it was going to happen. The angel would come down and somebody would always beat him into the water. And so he stayed laying there 40 years. And Jesus came and he heals him. And this lame man who couldn't walk, he picks up his bed and he walks home. Tell John that. Tell John blind people are getting their sight back. Lame people are being healed. Lepers, not leopards, all right? I got this confused so often when I was a kid. Not the cat, right? Lepers. The sickness, the disease that basically it's a disease that eats up a person's body. He says lepers are being cleansed. I'm cleansing lepers and the deaf here. And don't forget to tell them the dead are raised up. Dead people are coming back to life. I am raising people from the dead. Go tell John. So you get the idea. They're going to go back and they're going to tell John, well, this is what he said to say. So John had heard about Jesus' works. The disciples come and they say, this is what he said to say. The blind are getting their sight back. The lame are being healed. The lepers are being cleansed. The deaf people are hearing. And dead people are being raised again. See, John heard about Jesus' works. I want to take a quick tour and I want you to see some of them this morning. And I'm going to have to be fast because I got more to say this morning than I have time to say it. Look at Matthew chapter 8. We're just going to go through Matthew just real quick. I want you to see some of these things that Jesus told John about. No doubt John had heard about this. John had maybe even seen some of these people that were healed. But Jesus said to the disciples of John, go tell John, the blind are being healed, the lame are being healed, the deaf are being healed, the lepers are being cleansed, and the dead are coming back to life. He didn't answer John. He didn't say, yes, I'm the one to come. Yes, I'm the Messiah. Yes, I'm the King. He just said, tell him what you're seeing. Tell him about the miracles. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And look at this, immediately his leprosy was cleansed. This is what Jesus is talking about. Go tell John. The lepers are cleansed. Look at chapter 8, verse number 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Skip down to verse 13, you see the miracle. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And look at this, his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. We're not talking about just anybody. We're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he is healing people. Look at verse number 14. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and here's the miracle, the fever left her. Look at verse 16. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And look what happened. He cast out the spirits with his words and healed all that were sick. Look at verse 26, Matthew 8, 26. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful? O ye of little faith, they're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, a huge storm has come up. They're afraid they're going to drown. Then he arose and rebuked the winds of the sea, and there was a great calm. Jesus, these amazing miracles that he's doing, he's healing people, and he's a raising of the sick. And chapter 9, verse 2, behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and seeing Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Skip to verse 6 now. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he, what's the next word? Arose. He arose, departed to his house. Look at chapter 9, verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thine hand upon her, and she shall live. Look at verse 25. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. This is what John, he said, go tell John, the blind received their sight, the lame are healed, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, dead are raised. Look at chapter 9, verse 20. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And look at this. The woman was made whole from that hour. He healed her. Look at verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened. Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." So in these two chapters, chapter 8 and chapter 9, we see all of these miracles. We see him raising the dead. We see him healing the lame. We see him healing the blind. I don't know if there was a deaf person in this particular series here. You see these miracles that he's doing. And Jesus said to John, "Yeah, I understand your doubt. You're asking me if I'm the one that should come or if you should look for another. Go tell John what you see. Go tell him these miracles that you see." See, Jesus wasn't doing what John expected. Has it ever been that way in your life? Jesus isn't just quite doing what you're expecting him to do. "I got saved and now all these problems came into my life." Well, the problems are going to happen anyway. Just who you have to go with you through those problems changes. I'm serving God this isn't supposed to happen, but it is. Jesus wasn't doing what John expected. It appears that the works that Jesus was doing weren't the works that John thought he should be doing. I don't know, the Bible doesn't specifically say that, but that's the way it appears. He knows about the miracles that are going on. He knows what Jesus is doing. He knows there's all kinds of people following him, but he's not convinced. He's supposed to be the Lamb of God. He's supposed to be taking away the sins of the world, but he's creating a circus. He's just using miracles to get bigger crowds to follow himself. If Jesus isn't the promised Messiah, I just imagine John thinking this, then he's using God's power for his own personal popularity. I don't know that's what he was thinking, but he said to his disciples, "Go ask him, are you the one that should come or should we look for another? Are you really the Messiah? Are you really the Son of God? Are you really who you say you are? Are you really the Lamb of God?" You know, there had been other people that John certainly knew about that had used God's gifts or their positions for personal gain. You've heard about preachers doing that. You've heard about politicians doing that. Eli in the Old Testament and his sons, you know, they were in the temple and they used that position for personal gain. And certainly John knew about that. And then some of the Old Testament kings, when you read their story, they used their position for personal gain. And I don't know that he was thinking this, but I just wonder if John's thinking, "Jesus, I introduced him as the Lamb of God, but he's just doing this all for himself. He's getting all these people following him. Are you really the Lamb of God? Or do we need to look for another?" See, John had a different style of living than Jesus had. You know that. Neither were wrong, but they were different. Do you remember what John wore? The Bible says what he wore. He wore camel's hair, clothes made out of camel's hair. Now, when I picture that, I picture him wearing like a caveman suit. Kind of like taking camel and cutting out an outfit, like cutting a hole in the middle of it and draping it over. I didn't realize this till I studied this week. Some of the fanciest clothes are made out of camel's hair. Movie stars, presidents' wives wear coats made out of camel's hair. I don't think he looked quite like that, because Jesus said, "Did you go out to the wilderness to see somebody wearing soft clothing?" So I don't think it was like that. But okay, so he wore camel's hair. We know what he ate: locusts and wild honey. Turns out he was ahead of the curve. The United Nations is promoting that the world begin eating more insects. Really, it's a move that the world's trying to make. Did you know 2 billion people already eat insects? Right? 2 billion people in the world already do. Anybody in here? On purpose. I mean, you eat them inadvertently. I did the studies on that too. Yeah. Woo! But on purpose. I mean, like crickets and grasshoppers and spiders and scorpions. People and worms and bugs, people are eating these. John was ahead of his time. He's eating delicacies, all right? Okay, so that's not what it was in his time, but he lives out in the wilderness. He's wearing the camel skin clothes. He's eating locusts and the wild honey. Jesus said, did you go out there to see a man dressed in soft raiment? No, those are in king's houses. They live differently. In fact, in Matthew chapter 11, go back there where we started this morning. Chapter 11, verse 18, Jesus is talking about the differences in their lifestyles. Here's where we're going this morning. I want you to know where we're going so you don't get frustrated, all right? Have you ever doubted God in your life? Have you ever doubted that he was working? Have you ever doubted the truth of Scripture? Have you ever doubted that Jesus is who he said he was? Have you ever doubted that he's really coming back? That's where we're trying to get to this morning. If you turn to find the places quickly, we'll get there. All right, Matthew chapter 11, verse 18. For John came, this is Jesus talking. For John came neither eating nor drinking. And they say, he hath the devil. Okay, John's out in the wilderness eating these grasshoppers, locusts, and the honey. And people are saying, he's devil-possessed. This crazy man out there. That's what people are talking. That's what they say. John came neither eating or drinking. They say, he hath the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. Different lifestyles, different style. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. People were making comparisons between John and Jesus. John's disciples may have thought that he was a good example because of the way he fasted. And I will just read this to you. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? They fasted. And it could have been that John's disciples thought, wow, what a great man, because, you know, he's got character, the way he fasts. But some people thought he was possessed by a demon for the very same reason. Jesus' disciples may have thought he was a good example because of the way he accepted people the way they were and spent time with them, you know, publicans and sinners. But some people thought he was self-centered and didn't care about the scriptures for the same reason. Different lifestyles, different ways of addressing people. They were different. And John here in prison, he sees the works that Jesus is doing. For some reason, we don't know why, but some reason there's a doubt comes into his mind. Are you really the one? Are you really the Lamb of God? Are you really the one that is going to come to save people from their sins? And I believe John questioned Jesus' calling, and he said, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Was I wrong about you? Was I wrong to introduce you as the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world? What did Jesus do? How did Jesus answer? Jesus didn't say, yes, I am the one. Jesus took John back to the words of God. He didn't argue his position. He didn't get upset. He simply reminded John about the scriptures. But he didn't choose just any scripture. He didn't say, just open your Bible, crack it open anywhere and find a place and read it and you'll be good. No, he didn't just say anywhere. He took him back to Isaiah chapter 61. Find Isaiah chapter 61 if you would. Now, Jesus didn't quote it exactly, but he took him back to Isaiah chapter 61. John asked, are you the Lamb of God? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? What did Jesus do? He took him to the Word of God. He took him to the Scriptures. He took him to the prophecies about Jesus. Jesus used the Word of God to remind John that he, Jesus, was the fulfillment of this verse. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Jesus said, look, go tell John, this is what he said, go show John these things which he do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Now I know that he was referring back to Isaiah chapter 61, because whenever Jesus introduced himself into ministry, it's in Luke chapter 4 if you want to find it. Jesus shows up in the synagogue. He's just entering into the ministry. He's just getting ready to go out and start doing these miracles and begin that 3 years that's going to lead to the cross. And the way he introduces himself, you may remember the story. Jesus walked into the synagogue, and at his turn, he took the scroll and he opened it up to Isaiah chapter 61. And the way Luke wrote it is this, Luke chapter 4, verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Here you go, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They're staring at him now. And he began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And here's what I want you to get from all of that. I know that was a lot of, let's pull it together. When John doubted that Jesus was the fulfillment of God's promises, Jesus told John's followers, go tell John, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. He took him back to the scripture. He took him back to the prophecy about Jesus, and he said, look, it has been fulfilled. If you're wondering, John, if you're wondering if I am the Messiah, I don't have to prove it to you. I don't have to say it to you. And I don't have to convince you. All you have to do is look at the scriptures and realize the prophecy has been fulfilled, and it's been fulfilled through me, Jesus said. And I realize that's the same way you and I need to deal with our doubt. We'll come back to that in just a little bit. When you find yourself doubting that Jesus is who he says he was, go to the Bible and let God convince your heart of the truth. We'll go there in a couple minutes. But not only did Jesus say to John, look, all these people are being healed, the scriptures are being fulfilled, he went a little bit further. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 6. He goes on past that. John, I understand that you're doubting. I understand that you're struggling right now. You're in prison. You realize John was in prison because he was doing what God told him to do? It wasn't like he stole a car or anything. He was in prison because he was preaching the truth. So he's doing what God tells him to do. I can see how somebody would get frustrated at that point. I can see how somebody would get maybe upset and discouraged because of what's happening. Matthew 11, 6, Jesus says to John's disciples, go tell them these people are being healed, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. That didn't even answer the question. John said, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus says, blessed are you if you're not offended in me. Wait a minute. You know, it might be easy to get offended when you're in jail because of somebody else. John was in jail because he's preaching the truth. If it hadn't been for God's call on his life, John wouldn't be in prison. If it hadn't been for standing up for Jesus, John would still be a free man. I think John was being tempted to get offended at Jesus at this point. God, it's your fault. Oh, have you ever thought that? God, it's your fault. Why is this happening in my life? God, it's your fault. It's your fault I'm in prison. If you hadn't told me to be a preacher of the truth, I wouldn't even be here in prison today. I don't know that he thought that, but I think he may have been tempted that because I've been tempted that. God, it's your fault. Why else would Jesus tell him that? Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. You might be, let me go back. If John was tempted to get offended at Jesus, don't you think you might also? I'm not saying to tell me if you have or not. I'm glad we don't go to a church where you have to tell somebody else your sins. Aren't you glad about that? Man, I'm glad about that. I don't have to tell you. You don't have to tell me. We say, yeah, we're all sinners. We understand that. But I'm not asking you to tell me. But have you ever maybe considered being offended? Not like you woke up this morning and said, you know, I think I'm going to get offended at God. But stuff happens in life and circumstances happen, and you may be tempted. If you follow Jesus, you're going to lose some friends. If you live like a Christian, people will mock you. If you obey God's call to serve him, you might not have all the expensive stuff that your neighbors have. You might be tempted to get offended. But stop and think about this for a minute. Many Christians have suffered a whole lot more than you and I have. Boy, they have suffered. Looking at John, he was beheaded for this very thing because he had told Herod that you shouldn't be married to that woman you're married to, and that woman that he was married to had his head cut off. There are people that have suffered so much more. I'm just going to read this to you out of Hebrews. I just want you to listen to it about people who have experienced so much worse than you and I have, yet did not get offended. It comes from Hebrews 11, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. If you find yourself getting upset at God for allowing hard times into your life, remember what Jesus told John. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Offenses are going to come. Jesus told us that. Blessed is he who doesn't get offended in him. I want to challenge you this morning. You see, first of all, you may have some doubts. Is Jesus really who he says he is? I've doubted that. I've wondered that. I remember going through high school. I was about 17 years old. I was working at a summer camp, and one of the people at summer camp, one of the adults there, gave me a Book of Mormon and said, you'd make a really good Mormon. You should read this. And if you feel the burning in your heart, you'll know that it's true. First of all, that was a lie, because the burning in your heart doesn't mean that whatever you're reading is true. All right? What a subtle technique. And I started reading through it, and I started doubting. And I started wondering, is Jesus really who he says he is? I just feel like every once in a while you may be like John. You may be in a situation in life where you're wondering, God, are you really who you say you are? I think you can deal with the same way Jesus dealt with John and say, let me take you back to Scripture. Let me take you back to some prophecy. Let me take you back to what you need. And don't forget, blessed is he who's not offended in me. If John questioned the coming of Jesus, don't get frustrated with yourself if you do too. Jesus came as a baby in a manger to pay the price for our sins, and Jesus will come again as God to take Christians to heaven and set up his kingdom. But if you find yourself questioning that, remember the words of God. Go back to the Scripture. I've been reading through the New Testament a lot this year. I've just enjoyed it. I have a goal. It's a high goal, and I'm trying to get through it a lot. But here's what's happening. Every time I read back through and it talks about heaven, it talks about the rapture, it talks about God, Jesus preparing a place for us. Oh, wow. It's a reminder to me. I get to 1 Thessalonians, I think it is. It talks about the rapture. I get to 1 Corinthians. It talks about the rapture. It reminds me that is the truth. And it reminds me I don't have to worry. Oh, it's just been so good. If you find yourself doubting that Jesus came as a man to this earth, I want you to go back to Scripture. I'm just going to give you one, but here's an example. You know this verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, the fact that you've heard this verse a lot doesn't make it any less true. This verse is so true. And the Bible's loaded with verses telling us that Jesus would come to earth. How Jesus, that he would come to earth. Let me read my notes right. How he would come to earth. When he would come to earth. And that Jesus did come to earth. The Bible's loaded with scriptures telling us before it happened that he would come, while he was here, that he was here, afterwards, why he came. I want you to remember just quickly some of the prophecies that he fulfilled. See, if you are doubting the fact that Jesus actually came to this earth, if you just realize these were written hundreds of years before he came, Matthew 1:22 says this, "Now all this was done," this was Jesus being born, "that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." That was written hundreds of years before Jesus was born, but it was fulfilled exactly. First of all, a virgin having a baby is impossible. But it happened. And then we shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. I'm not going to go through them all this morning, but I want you to understand this. More than 350 prophecies about the Messiah were fulfilled by Jesus. 350. I'm going to do some math, all right? It's going to blow your mind this morning. You ready? You ready to be mind blown? All right, I'm ready for it. You're not even awake. All right, let's try this. 350 prophecies were fulfilled. Many of the prophecies concerning the Messiah were totally beyond human control. It's not something he could have done to make it happen. It happened, all right? His birth, you can't choose where you're born, all right? The place, the time, the way he died, people's reactions to his death, piercing of his side. He didn't tell the soldier, hey, come pierce my side so that it can be fulfilled. It happened because it was promised by God. The resurrection. Where did his body go? So by using these prophecies, the chance that any man... Wait, back up. By using probability, I'm trying to read and I'm messing up. By using the probability in reference to just 8 of these prophecies. Now, I told you 350 of them were fulfilled in Jesus. Just 8 of them being fulfilled in Jesus. The chance that any man might have lived to fulfill all 8 prophecies is 1 in 100 trillion. These are big numbers, so let me illustrate this. I'm not a big science guy, math guy. Some of you are, so you're going to get this more than me. 1 in 100 trillion. This is an incredibly, incredibly small chance. In fact, it's so small that if you were to take the state of Texas, and take 100 trillion silver dollars. I'd take 100 trillion silver dollars. Take 100 trillion silver dollars, and you cover the state of Texas with those. You take one silver dollar, and you mark on it with a permanent marker. All right, and you throw it in there, you mix them all up. And then you blindfold somebody and you tell them to walk out into the state of Texas somewhere and pick up the one silver dollar that's marked on. The chance of that happening is 1 in 100 trillion, right? For one man to fulfill only 8 of these prophecies is 1 in 100 trillion. Jesus fulfilled over 350 of the prophecies of the Old Testament. I don't even know the number on that one. If you find yourself doubting, questioning whether Jesus came, let me tell you what you do. You come back here. You come back to Scriptures. We've got to move quickly, but if you find yourself questioning the second coming of Christ, it's the same process. Remember the words of God. Remember the promises that God made. 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to read these quick for the sake of time. 1 Thessalonians 4, the Bible says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." 1 Corinthians 15:51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." He's coming back. 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Just as for sure that He came the first time, He's coming the second time. And if you ever doubt it, just go back to the Scriptures. Jude 1:14, "And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints." I've got a few more to read here, but I want you to put this together. If Jesus fulfilled 350 prophecies about the Messiah coming, only 8 of them, the chance of that is 1 in 100 trillion. But He fulfilled 350 of them. Every single one He fulfilled. I'm totally confident that He's going to fulfill the next ones. If He came like He said He was going to come the first time, I'm not worried that He's going to come the second time like He said He would. Matthew 25:31, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory." John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. If ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I love these promises. He is coming back. He did come the first time, and I don't have to doubt that. But when I do, I can look at Scripture and I can be reminded, yes, He did. And if I ever doubt that He's coming again, I can come back to Scripture and I can look at it and I can say, yes, He's coming again. I don't have to worry. Revelation 1:7, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." Even so, amen. Daniel 7:13, and this is our last one, we're done. Daniel 7:13, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought Him near before Him. And there was given Him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve Him." That hasn't happened yet. It didn't happen when He came the first time. It's going to happen, though. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. It's going to happen. The promises are... Daniel's the same one that promised that He would come the first time, one of them, and He told us when He was going to come the first time. He told us the date. If you look at the years since the temple was built and all that back in Daniel, the same one, He said, listen, He's coming again. And He's coming to set up His kingdom forever and ever and ever. All right, you're John. You're in prison. Jesus, you're just not seeming to be the one that I thought you were going to be. Jesus, are you really the Messiah? I'm having some doubts here. I'm having some struggles here. Are you the one that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus just says, just go back to Scripture. Go back to what was written that I was going to do. Look at the Scripture, look at the prophecy, and you will see, I am the one. I am the one that came the first time. I am the one that will come the second time. Father, I pray that You would use this in our hearts to help us understand when we do doubt what to do about it. Lord, I believe that most Christians at some times struggle a bit with doubt, struggle with being tempted to believe that maybe You weren't the one to come. Maybe You're working in a different way than we thought You would. Maybe You're working in our lives differently than we expected. Lord, I pray that this morning, those who have struggled with this, that they would understand, oh, here's the solution. I can go to the Scriptures. I can see the promises. I can see the promises that were already made and already fulfilled. I can look at the other promises and realize the same God that made those promises is going to fulfill those. Lord, thank you for coming to this earth. Thank you that you did come as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the earth. Lord, I pray this morning, if there's someone here that's not trusted you as their Savior, that this morning they would admit to you that they're a sinner, that they would trust you to forgive their sins, and they would accept your free gift of eternal life. Lord, there's some here this morning that may be saved but have struggled with doubt, just wondering if you're really the one, wondering if you really are going to keep all your promises. Lord, I pray that you would help that doubt to go away, help them to find a solution for that, to be able to know, to go to Scriptures, and that you will answer that.